Let's go now to New York. And the US President Barack Obama has used his speech to world leaders at the UN to appeal for calm and tolerance in the wake of violent anti-American protests in the Middle East. There were flashes of the soaring oratory that made Barack Obama such a popular figure in many parts of the world during his last election campaign. He made a robust case for protecting free speech while also condemning the violent response to the US film disparaging the Prophet Muhammad. And he stated that the US would not retreat from the world on issues like Syria and Iran. From the United Nations headquarters in Manhattan, North America correspondent Jane Cowan reports.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sixth plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order.
The UN chief, Ban Ki-moon, opened proceedings with a bleak assessment of the problems facing the world.
I'm here to sound the alarm about our direction as a human family. We can all see widespread insecurity and injustice, inequality and intolerance. This is a time of turmoil, transition and transformation. A time when time itself is not on our side.
When the US President Barack Obama took the podium, his address was coloured from start to finish by the death of the US Ambassador Chris Stevens and the anti-American sentiment convulsing the Middle East.
Chris Stevens embodied the best of America. But understand, the attacks of the last 2 weeks are not simply an assault on America. They are also an assault on the very ideals upon which the United Nations was founded. The notion that people can resolve their differences peacefully.
He launched a forceful defense of democratic values, especially free speech.
As president of our country and commander-in-chief of our military, I accept that people are going to call me awful things every day. And I will always defend their right to do so. Americans have fought and died around the globe to protect the right of all people to express their views. Even views that we profoundly disagree with. We do not do so because we support hateful speech. We do so because in a diverse society, efforts to restrict speech can quickly become a tool to silence critics and oppress minorities.
Infused with a sense of history stretching from the Arab Spring back to the upheaval of World War II, the speech was shades of the Barack Obama elected as a transformative, unifying figure 4 years ago. The president invoked the philosophies of Nelson Mandela and Mahatma Gandhi and peppered his half-hour address with anecdotes from all corners of the globe.
On the same day our civilians were killed in Benghazi, a Turkish police officer was murdered in Istanbul, only days before his wedding. More than 10 Yemenis were killed in a car bomb in Sana'a. The impulse towards intolerance and violence may initially be focused on the West, but over time it cannot be contained. The same impulses towards extremism are used to justify war between Sunni and Shia, between tribes and clans. It leads not to strength and prosperity, but to chaos.
Barack Obama's tempered his domestic rhetoric lately, perhaps to reflect the somber mood in a country where millions remain unemployed and the economic recovery continues to be painfully slow. But here, as he took his last turn in the international spotlight before facing American voters in 6 weeks' time, the president even revived the H word, hope.
But what gives me the most hope, it is the people that I've seen, the young people in the favelas of Rio and the schools of Mumbai, whose eyes shine with promise. These men, women, and children of every race and every faith remind me that for every angry mob that gets shown on television, there are billions around the world who share similar hopes and dreams. They tell us that there is a common heartbeat to humanity.
Applause erupted half a dozen times in the cavernous General Assembly Hall, something unusual in this setting. But Barack Obama had his critics, like the Republican heavyweight and former Bush advisor Karl Rove, who took issue with the way Barack Obama defined the cause of the current unrest in the Middle East.
We have what appears to be a terrorist attack on 9/11. He could not bring himself to say that the Middle East needs to confront the terrorist element with him. He once made one reference to extremists, but other than that, he tried to sort of make it looked like this whole thing rose from the necessary and normal tensions that would happen as the Arab countries made their way to democracy. That's simply not the case. This happened because terrorists who hate America and who hate democracy are trying to attack America, particularly on a highly symbolic day like 9/11. And the president's right. We need to speak honestly about the causes of this. And the cause of this is Islamic jihadism that must be confronted by these regimes and these emerging democracies in the Middle East and rejected.
The president broke no new ground on foreign policy. He renewed calls for the end of the Assad regime in Syria, expressed a belief tensions over Iran's nuclear program could still be solved diplomatically, but said that window wasn't open indefinitely, and made only passing mention of one of the Obama administration's prickliest policy problems, the war in Afghanistan. This is Jane Cowan in New York for The World Today.